listening to the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network.
Welcome in, everybody. This is episode 24 of the Debbie Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Network. I am your host for a few weeks while Skip is off screwing around in Italy. I am Dwight Peebles, and tonight I'm bringing on a couple special guests. They are some of my coworkers at Campus Canton, hosts of the upcoming Back to Debbie pod. I got Corey, Party Like a Canadian Rockstar, A. Pereira, and Mike, Colder Than a Polar Bear's Toenails, Valeri. How you guys doing, bud?
That was an awesome intro. I love that. Thank you, Dwight.
Yeah,
I'm doing great.
I'm happy to be here. Polar bear reference too.
Yeah. I know it harkens back to your polar bear joke back on the one of the very first, which I absolutely love, and I tell people every time I get a chance. So I thought it was freaking hilarious, and I don't know if anybody else did.
I appreciate it.
I want to make sure everybody knows you can gain access to the Rookie Big Board premium content at patreon.com/the FF Educator. It includes dynasty rankings, Debbie rankings, access to our engaging and active Discord channel, and the ability to ask us for personalized advice on trades, rosters, and more. So tonight we're going to do something kind of fun. First, we're going to do a little tiny bit of news. I kind of wanted to get you guys' opinion of this Reuben Owens $3 million NIL deal to go to Louisville. It's kind of crazy to think of a smaller school like this spending this kind of money on a top prospect, and I think it could kind of cause ripples, you know, as to what happens over these next couple of years and until we get some sort of law. So, Corey, I'll bounce it to you first. Do you have any sort of thoughts on this? And
yeah, I mean, I think the world of NIL is kind of taking over college football a little bit. I mean, the schools that have money are going to be getting these guys. I even saw Alfred in our chat a little bit today in the recruiting channel. I don't know if you guys are in it, but he's flipping out because Florida keeps losing out on all these guys. But but I guess that's just what it's going to be. You know, I mean, I don't mind Reuben Owens going there. I think he's going to dominate there. Obviously, he's going to be the face of the program. 2023 is going to be a weird year for Louisville. They're going to be changing a lot of turnover. Malik's probably gone. The running back they have now, what's his name? Jalen Mitchell, Tyon Evans as well. They're both going to be gone. So, I mean, he's going to be the face, but it's going to be a weird change. I don't know how he's going to fit in. He's probably going to dominate. So, I mean, whatever. I think the bigger thing here, obviously, is the NIL impact and seeing like where the college football world is going.
So I was not a college football fan until actually very recently. I shouldn't say very recently. The last couple of years. I switched from being an NFL fan to college fan. And that's because when I first started watching college football, it's the same four teams. I think that's every casual college fan's complaint. And so when NIL is now coming out, I feel that the bigger schools who have the most money, the biggest program, the gap's just going to widen. You know, we see the transfer portal loosening up their rules, and of course, all the players want to go to Alabama. So my concern with NIL is that programs are going to get carried away and the gap's just going to get bigger. So I'm actually got a little excited to see him go to Louisville. I'm not a big fan of the player itself, but the fact that not one of the typical, you know, top 10, top 12 schools that we all think of snagged what was a big time player. So I thought that was kind of cool, but I am very worrisome about how NIL tampering is going to be. But maybe it really just adds a whole nother level of the competition. You know, it just makes it adds another variable to the algorithm, and it makes it maybe a little more exciting. I think people are just naturally afraid of change at first. So I think maybe I'm coming around to the excitement of a new level of something. So I don't know, but those are my thoughts.
But what I could see it opening up, and this is kind of an interesting thought, is a school like Louisville saying, let's lay low for a couple of years. You know, let's contact all our boosters. Let's get Dr. Venkman to throw in a couple million. Let's get Adidas to throw in a couple million, you know, and just straight up buying like a top five class, you know, every so often, you know, because all these schools are flush with money. I mean, you can't tell me that even some of the lower schools like Michigan State, I mean, we just paid Mel Tucker like, you know, $10 million a year and for 90 or what was it like 90 million. And none of that even came from the university. That was all from boosters, you know? So if our boosters can do that, you know, I think it could create, you know, some teams that kind of do this and jockey for like these super classes, which could, you know, could make it very interesting. And like you said, it could actually shake up the top four a little bit. So as long as everybody makes it harder for Ohio State, I'm happy. That's my main goal in life. So,
Hey Mike, what's your apprehension with Owens? I noticed you said there that you don't really like the player. Is it just his age? Is that what's holding you back? Like analytically?
Yeah, it's an age and size thing. Obviously, he has more time to add the size, so I'm not really worried about it. But I do so far like
the players already have the size. I am new to analyzing recruitment. I was brought on to do NFL stuff, so I look more at like juniors and seniors. So I hope my process is a hit from the start. But, you know, we'll see if I got to start flexing after a year. You know, that's how it goes. But, yeah, it's just the size thing. Also, I do look at program, too. So him going to Louisville makes me not too excited for his development as an NFL talent. So,
right. You know, I didn't realize he was going to be a 19-year-old freshman. I didn't realize that. I think Matt said that today when his Bruning said that when he did his little video about Owens signing or whatever. I was surprised that Owens was going to come as a 19-year-old freshman. So that's kind of crazy if you think about it. So we're going to do something kind of fun here. I threw a wrench at these guys. I wanted to get these guys on here, talk about something different. We're kind of in that time of, I feel like we're in that period of the season of Debbie, especially where we're analyzing the crap out of every single player. You know, every podcast is doing the same exact things, you know, values, you know, trades, this, that. I wanted to do something a little bit different. So we're going to do a mock draft, but we're going to focus on programs and strengths that the program has in building for the future to give you an idea of how to favor teams and prospects going forward. So what we're going to do is Corey, Mike, and I are going to rotate. Each of us will select a program and then the position we want for the mock draft. Each of us has to select a school and one of each of the position. So each of us will select a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. We can select a school more than once, but we're going to be looking at like the previous, you know, 8 to 10 years from these schools, as well as the prospects coming up that we know about, you know, up until, I mean, there's 2023 guys already signing, 2024 guys, you know, giving soft commits, things like that. So things that we know about, and we're going to select that school and that position in a mock draft. And we're just going to kind of analyze, you know, it's kind of fun to sit back and watch how these programs build. And obviously there's going to be a lot of Alabama, a lot of Ohio State, you know, that's just the way it's been going, but it's going to be fun to see if there's some other guys in here. So Corey drew the short straw and he's going to be the 101. So Corey, in this, I don't know what to call it, program mock draft, what are you going to pick for the first pick, man?
Yeah, so lots of pressure here at the 1.1. I'm kind of thinking of this more like fantasy, right? I'm thinking about these guys on my fantasy rosters. I'm trying to balance, you know, the future guys they have with what they already gave me over the past 10 years. So I did kind of put a bigger emphasis on what they gave me already over the past 10 years, if I would have had success in those past 10 years, compared to the unknown of the future, even though sometimes it looks really good, right? So this one might be a little bit of a surprise, okay? I know I think I mentioned in the chat already, but I'm going to go at the 1.1. I'm going with LSU wide receivers. And the reason I do that is, you know, you look at the past 10 years, they have studs. Like, and when I was analyzing all these groups, these guys had the true studs of the last 10 years. I mean, we're talking about Ja'Marr Chase last year, Justin Jefferson in 2020, DJ Chark and Russell Gage in 2018, both solid players, once even top 20 guy in DJ Chark. You've got OBJ and Landry in the last 10 years as well, once first or 1.01 in Dynasty. Ja'Marr Chase is 1.01 in Dynasty right now. Justin Jefferson was. So, I mean, like, all these guys are studs, really. And then you look towards the future as well. You've got Kayshon Boutte, who's still my number one overall Debbie wide receiver. Still love him a lot. You've got some enticing guys. I really like their class of last year with Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, Chris Hilton even. Deion Smith went somewhere else. I really liked him as well. But these guys are a little bit intriguing. They dropped the ball a little bit in 2022. There's not a lot of wide receiver commits. I think their only wide receiver commit comes the number 103rd wide receiver in the class. I looked it up. So they didn't attack wide receiver very much in 22, but they're already in the mix for a 2023 top five wide receiver in, Shelton Sampson. So he's already got an LSU lean. I love how they've built their wide receivers and how impactful they've been on the NFL side. So I'm going with them here and locking in LSU wide receivers.
Yeah, that was, for me, that was my 101 too. I think that's going to be those three guys. I mean, Jefferson, Chase, Boutte are going to be top 10 dynasty receivers for at least another decade. You know, yeah. So that's, I mean, that's, to me, it's pretty easy, but I don't know. Mike, what do you think? You think that's the 101, or are you going to make your case for somebody else next?
I like that a lot too. LSU is a good one. I think there's some close seconds here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, can't argue with the 101 there. I mean, Odell gave you wide receiver one numbers for years. Ja'Marr Chase gave you wide receiver one numbers for years. I think that they're kind of trailing, though. Like, the next 5 years, I'm not holding my breath, you know. I mean, he didn't say he was, but that past success is just so overwhelming. It's just a huge gap that
you know, I think it's a good pick.
I mean, yeah, that was the tough thing to balance, really, because, I mean, looking in the future, they've got a lot of just turnover, you know, Brian Kelly coming in and all these people leaving, and they don't really have a quarterback of the future right now. You don't know who it's going to be. So it's a little bit confusing there right now to know where it's going to head. But I'm still relying on the program. Recruits are still loving to go there. So I like it there. So, Mike, what do you got for us at 102, man?
Yeah, so 102 was a hard one for me. It really was a hard one. But I'm going to go with another wide receiver group, actually, and I'm going with Alabama here. Alabama's got another long list here. So let's go. Amari Cooper, right? Perennial wide receiver 2. You got Calvin Ridley, wide receiver 1. Devonta Smith, a little out on Devonta Smith myself, but like he's going to be a weekly starter in fantasy leagues for years to come, no matter what. Jerry Jeudy, I still believe in the breakout there. Jalen Waddle. Just had a wide receiver 1 season as a rookie. And I think he had the reception record for a rookie season, maybe one of the top best rookie seasons of all time.
Yeah, but definitely one of the best, yeah.
Yeah, so they're not only good in the past, but they're coming up in the future too. So who we just had this year was Jameson Williams, who I believe he played that same position as Jalen Waddle and Henry Ruggs. And if you had to rank those 3 as prospects, I think Jameson's right behind Jalen Waddle myself. I think Jalen Waddle is much better at controlling his speed, whereas Jameson's a little more raw because he didn't have a lot of playing time in Ohio State. But I believe in the ceiling. I mean, that guy's going to take the top off of defense like 3-4 times a game. And if he gets hit on one of those runs, like there's your wide receiver 1 numbers for the week. And then coming up too after that, we got Jermaine Burton. I'm a huge believer in Jermaine Burton. Any Alabama receiver that goes, you know, the wide receiver 1, that's first round draft capital. There's no reason for him not to take off this year. So I think he's going to get the wide receiver 1 numbers. And I think he has a great athletic profile. And he's going to put the production that he's going to be a great receiver the next level as well. And then after Jermaine Burton, you got Ja'Cory Brooks, JoJo Earl. I'm a little wavering on them, but I'm not out. I'm not out. I'm just wavering. And you got Isaiah Bond and Chad. They have a future. So I got some path production here, and I got a future coming up too.
I like that. And when I was looking at Alabama as well, the biggest thing that stood out was the draft capital these guys all get. I mean, like all their leading receivers over the past, like I think 5 years have all gotten first round draft capital. So, I mean, like that's huge. That's opportunity right there. I will say that like the thing that knocked them down a little bit for me was just like, besides Waddle, because Waddle had a pretty good season, like, and Ridley, I guess you never mentioned Ridley there, but I guess he's suspended. So yeah, so that one's a little bit tough too. But at the same time,
I got it written down.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about Devontae. I'm a little bit worried about Jeudy.
Yeah,
I'm a little bit worried about if Jameson's going to be more of a role player. I hate to say that because I know people don't like to hear that. But if he's going to be more of like a deep threat kind of guy, Mechie's probably just going to be a slot. So I worry about like the star level of a lot of them. But it's a great class and a great future. I mean, you're talking about like 4 top 20 guys they brought in this last class as well. So, I mean, people keep going there. It's and transfers keep going there, the top transfers. So, I mean, that's a great place.
I think I went with quantity and you went with quality.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a lot of names. You just kept going and going. Like, we got to limit it to 30 minutes. Slow down. So, all right. I don't have to pick wide receivers now until the last round because I got my one now. So.
That's true.
All right, I'll go with kind of a low pick. I'll go with the Georgia running backs next. I'm not going to venture. into quarterback water. Quarterbacks is kind of. I struggle with that one a little bit, but Georgia backs just for me. I mean, we still got Nick Chubb still around for a couple more years. DeAndre Swift, I think's got a good 5 to 7 years left in him. You know, they just brought James Cook. They keep recruiting the top guys every year. They have Kendall Milton still in there. Branson Robinson coming in, Andrew Paul coming in. I mean, it is the running back you, and they just constantly churn them out. I think for me, it's pretty easy as the top running back school. So I'll take Georgia running backs next.
Yeah, no, that's a great pick. They were my number one running back group. They were who I actually thought about at number one as well. Those were my two leading groups for the skill. Todd Gurley, and then you're talking about Branson, and then you're talking about Andrew Paul. It's a lot of nice guys there.
Yeah, just forget that Gurley was in the last 10 years. I mean, gosh, it feels like he's been gone for 5 years. It feels
yeah.
Man, crazy short end of his career. All right, Corey, what do you got next, man? What are you going to take us down another path?
Man, yeah, you guys made it hard on me here now. I also kind of want to stay away from quarterback. That's a little bit – I'm waiting for one of you guys to, and then I'm just going to take, the remaining one, you know. But I think I have to go with Alabama running backs.
Okay, because like that.
Yeah, I mean, just in the past, I mean, they're averaging like second round draft capital. And then just a quick list of names here in the past 10 years, Najee Harris, Josh Jacobs, Damian Harris, Derrick Henry, Kenyon Drake, TJ Yeldon had some life. Eddie Lacy had some life. Trent Richardson went in the first round. So we're talking about a lot of good guys. Good future, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jason McClellan, Roy Dell, Jamarian Miller, Emmanuel Henderson. It's a lot of guys. It's a Bama. Everybody goes to Bama, right? You can't, you're never going to lose taking a Bama guy. Even if they transfer somewhere else, I mean, they usually still do pretty well. But yeah, this was my second running back group and an easy choice for me here.
Yep. I like it.
I love it. Yeah. That's a great list. It's just, there's plenty of every single year. I mean, and we talk about how the short shelf life for RBs and like Giants, you know, everyone's trying to get like three RBs in the top 24, and that's like a really good roster, but everyone's happy with like two.
If you just stick to just Alabama running backs, you're getting RB2 like every 2 years, you know?
That's
your rotation of stock from just one school.
Mike? Alabama tight ends are available, so.
I will be going with QBs on the Alabama show, and I'm going with Alabama at QB. Nice. This is more just because I don't feel like there's one school that's just churning out QBs. I don't really think Alabama's the powerhouse for QBs, but they got two that are starting, and they'll start for definitely a few years, and they got one more in the chute that you feel pretty good about starting for at least his rookie contract. So I'm talking about Tua, Mac Jones, and Bryce Young. Not a big Tua truther myself. I'm a Patriots fan, so you know I got to be a Mac Jones truther. But I think they're both solid QB2s. I think Mac Jones has a little more upside because I like his intelligence level. I like the coaching staff a lot. I just really, really want the Patriots to please draft an elite separator. Just get this man some help because the Bills cornerbacks put our receivers on clamps like every single game last year.
It was you don't like Tyquan Thornton, man?
He'll be great on special teams.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah, that's my Mac Jones spiel. But so you got Tua and Mac. You know they're starting their whole entire rookie contract. We got Bryce Young coming up. I think Bryce Young. I'm definitely getting ahead of myself here. This is a lofty comparison, but Bryce Young definitely reminds me a little bit of Russell Wilson. Not that he scrambles really well, but he scrambles in the pocket and likes to throw it. I like his throwing motion a lot. So I think Bryce Young has some really nice deep ball potential to the next level. It can make games really exciting. But anyway, those are the three. Jalen Milrow is getting some love out there, potentially having a one-year start, and that's all you need in Alabama. Mac Jones made his money off a one-year start. And then you got Ty Simpson coming in too, one of my favorite freshmen coming in. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But Alabama does I think they might be the only ones that consistently put out – well, sorry, one of two that consistently put quarterbacks into the NFL.
Right, and they've already got Holstein committed for 2023. They're still in the Arch Manning sweepstakes. I mean, every top quarterback wants to go to. It seems like is in the running in Alabama. So, I like that one. I think they were probably my top quarterback. I kind of bounced back and forth between them and.
And your next pick, maybe.
I don't like you guys anymore. Let me see. It was tough. It was just tough. I think. Yeah, I think I will go with Ohio State quarterbacks.
God damn it.
I don't love their track record in the NFL. I mean, I don't. I still think Justin Fields is going to be fine. I mean, I really do. And then I love C.J. Stroud, you know, enough to where he'll be a pretty good NFL quarterback. I like Kyle McCord. I love Devin Brown coming out. So it's definitely less about the past and more about the future. So I just love the group they have right now. They seem to finally have it down as the right type of archetype or quarterback that they're looking for, a guy who's more mobile and can do a little bit more, which is, I think, what colleges need to do and what they're looking for and what the NFL is looking for. And they're finally evolving their offense around that. So I do like what Ohio State's doing. So I begrudgingly will take them at 106.
Yeah, they were actually might be my first group because – I just see I like C.J. Stroud as a hit. I like Fields as going to be a hit. I'm not sure about the Alabama QBs who are in the NFL already. So that was putting OSU a little bit above for me. And, of course, I like their future with McCord and Devin Brown. And I think Raiola just committed to there recently. So
they've got to throw McCord in there, huh?
Yeah, I McCord in there, whatever.
You don't want Matt Bruni knocking on that door.
No, that one's for Matt. So we'll keep that one for Matt. But yeah, I really I like that choice, and they've really had a lot of change over the last couple of years because they were really a quarterback powerhouse or even an offensive powerhouse a long time ago, and they've kind of changed over the past like 6 or 7 years to becoming this powerhouse. And now a lot of guys coming there, a lot of recruits. I mean, it's a good thing. So yeah, I like that choice. Now I'm going to miss and skip quarterback a whole bunch now because I don't even care.
You can go there last. Yeah.
So I've already picked running back, wide receiver. So it's like, I don't even know who to pick now. So
I think we're all left on tight ends here, right?
Tight ends. I could go. Maybe I'll just take the top tight end. So this one's hard because obviously there's two groups here that are good. One for the future, which I know you guys are probably sure I'm talking about. And one that's already provided us with a lot. Now, and like I was saying earlier, I kind of put more value on what's already come. So I'm going to go with the Iowa tight ends right now. Nice. Talking about
Corey, I got to cut you off. There's one group that you guys are both forgetting about. We'll wait for it, but there's one group that you guys are just outright disrespecting, but I'll get them. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. I'm eager for it. But anyways, I'm going Iowa tight end. Hawkinson and Fant, obviously. Kittle has been an all-pro number one tight end to position. In the future, you also got Sam Laporta coming, a guy that I like that I think is going to be pretty good next year, a good all-around player. So, I mean, there's not a lot to say about tight ends. I just like the way these guys are getting put in the NFL. So I'm going with Iowa tight ends here.
Nice. I have no disagreement there, man. Even though Mike's yelling at us that we're forgetting somebody, but
yeah.
So Mike, 108.
I can wait on running back. So I'm going to go ahead and get my tight end group out of the way too. After I just interrupted Corey, I had to diss him a little here, and I'm not going to go. I know the choice should be Georgia, but I'm just going to be cute here and I'm going to go with my choice. And that's going to be Stanford tight ends.
Okay. Yeah,
Stanford tight ends have been productive in the NFL no matter draft capital. And I'm just going to go off here. I have too many Word documents open for the articles I'm writing. We got Dalton Schultz, who was tight end 3 last year. Looks like he's getting the contract extension. He gets a little bit less target competition. Now, I know a lot of us are like, well, Dalton Schultz is just Austin Hooper, who's also another Stanford tight end. But he gets catches, he gets targets. I mean, it's fantasy. That's what we're here for. And I don't think those are going to go away. And I don't think he's going to see like top cornerback coverage because corner still got to cover Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Tolbert, that some people are really high on. Like, right, they got to cover those guys. So I don't really see Dalton Schultz usage changing at all. I think it's just going to be like a rinse and repeat, just copy and paste from last year. You also got Zach Ertz, though. Zach Ertz, who was, you know, a top 3 there for multiple years and kind of faded last couple years, but then he was tight end 5 as soon as he got traded to the Cardinals,
yeah.
So set to repeat again this year. Same story as Schultz. I don't really see a reason for Ertz not to have a good year, and that's where we are. So we got Austin Hooper, tight end 1 for 1 year. You got Schultz, who was a high-end tight end 1. And you got Ertz, who was a continual tight end 1 for, I want to say, like 5 years there, but you know, for a stretch of time. And coming up is my man Benjamin Urosek. Nice. I'm a big fan. He was an athlete for 24/7. That was his rank. He's got to be solidified top 10 Debbie tight ends, which doesn't really say much. All right. But, you know, so he's gaining some recognition and we'll have to see the athletic test and we'll see what happens in the NFL. But he's definitely, I want to say, he's definitely in my top 10. I want to say he's like tight end 5, tight end 6 for me.
All right. I like it, man. I was worried you were going to say like South Dakota State or something.
Like, yeah, something like way low.
They got Goddard. That's it. That's
all. Yeah, I thought about saying Cincy just for Kelsey, and that's it, you know?
Like, yeah. No, I like that choice. They weren't even on my list. I guess I didn't take a hard enough look at them. So I, but yeah, they've definitely had some good talent come out of there. And Urosek is interesting. I'm not as big of a fan as you. I like a little bit more athleticism at the position for me, right, personally. But yeah, I mean, he could be a solid guy. Maybe he's a Pat Freiermuth on the next level, something like that, you know. But
right,
yeah, I'd be happy with that, honestly.
All right, well, I'll go back to the Ohio State well and take their wide receivers this time. So I got wide receivers and tight end left. So, I mean, shoot, it seems like ever since Michael Thomas, they're just churning them out. We've got Garrett Wilson in now, Olave, JSN, Marvin Harrison Jr., Igbuka. I mean, they're getting several of the top receivers every year, it seems like. Just today, would they get Ennis and somebody else today, wasn't it? Or what was his name?
Carnell Tate.
Carnell, there you go.
Yeah.
That was yesterday or today. You know, they're getting them every year. And Brian Hartline has just got, I mean, he's doing something right over there, bringing in top wide receivers. And we talked in the chat earlier about, you know, they might run seven wide receiver sets because they got that much talent at wide receivers. So, I mean, it's easy for me to sit back and wait here and take them at 109. So, yep.
There you go.
I feel like there might be even a couple I left out. So, like, I feel like there's a lot of them.
Yeah, I think the thing that knocked them down was I think they're more of a future play right now because it's a lot of guys with potential. Whereas, like I was saying before, like they've really had an offensive scheme change really over the last six, seven years or whatever. That's really pumping up these guys now. And before we didn't really see it. There wasn't much quarterbacks coming out of there. There wasn't much wide receivers coming out of there. But now it's every freaking five stars going there. They're putting up massive production on the college side, which is what you like to see as well. So yeah, I mean they were up there for me. They were my third group because it's a lot of unknown. It's a lot of unknown. So my second group wasn't even taken. So maybe we'll talk about them after. But
I just want to piggyback off course about Ohio State receivers. After like Michael Thomas, they had like quite a few duds. I mean, like Devin Smith, Braxton Miller, Paris Campbell. It was a lot of like guys that you like their tape, but once you got to the NFL, you just couldn't figure out what was going on. So I'm with you. I like Michael Thomas, obviously, wide receiver one there for multiple years, but you definitely love the future of talent coming out.
And Michael Thomas wasn't even a big guy. And we didn't even mention McLaurin here yet either as well.
Oh,
which is two guys who weren't super productive but came out of there. Because it was part of that old system, right? Which is really over the last couple of years that has changed. So
I forgot somebody. That was it. Yeah. All right, Corey.
So 110 here, I guess I'm going quarterbacks. And I guess this one was tough because you could go anywhere. And there's not a lot of hits when you look over the past 10 years at a lot of these programs. Okay, so I'm going with a little bit of the future here and a little bit of what they've given me already. And I'm going with Clemson quarterbacks. So you've got you got Trevor Lawrence, who was just taken recently. Then you've got Deshaun Watson a couple years ago, a few years ago, which is, you know, whatever's going on with him. But he was a great quarterback, so that's fine. And then you can look at towards the future. You've got DJU. A lot of people are out on him. Still a very high-ranking prospect. Still a guy who can turn it around. Has a couple years left if he wants them. And then you've got the number one quarterback in this class with Cade Klubnik going there, which is another great prospect who could become another first-round NFL draft pick. So I think Clemson's a good place. They bring in a lot of good wide receiver talent, too. Good offensive system. So I'm happy to take Clemson here. I'm interested to see if you guys had any other quarterback groups that you guys were big on, because this is kind of like where I cut it off. It felt like a big teardrop after this for me.
I actually did have one I thought was on my consideration. They're at number four for me. Clemson was my number two. North Dakota State University.
Yeah.
you get Carson Wentz and you get Trey Lance. You get two.
But is that good? Is that a good thing?
I don't know. So
we're not sure yet, I guess.
But if you look at my other list, I thought I was going to be like, you know, if we did two rounds, I was going to be all sneaky and be like, well, I'll just take Texas Tech, so I'll get Patrick Mahomes, and that's all.
That's all you really care about.
There's a lot of one.
Yeah, a lot of one hits, right?
Yeah,
I think the one group, obviously, it's hard because you don't want to pick Oklahoma because of their future, right?
Yeah.
Because of the big change. You wanted to pick Lincoln Riley, right, and follow him because, I mean, who did he have that I had written down?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Kyler
Hurts, Mayfield, and now Nick Evers is in there. So, I mean, I guess it would have been a good school to pick from if Lincoln Riley had stayed there. And then USC was obviously an option, but they don't have a lot of past as well. A little bit of future, but those guys were in consideration, but I'm happy with Clemson here. So
I like it. Mike, who you got left, man?
I'm on the running backs now, actually.
You know,
I waited running backs here and I'm like looking forward to see you guys' reaction here. So I hope I didn't forget any groups here. Cause it was like, I can either go with like, two options I think that are elite from two schools, or maybe I can get a little cue here with it. And I'm picking a school with a very strong past and a not very bright future, and that's Florida State. Florida State here, we got Dalvin Cook, very elite running back. We got Devonta Freeman, who was pretty elite there for 2 years. We have Cam Akers, who looked really good his rookie year, injured this last year. So TBD, but I think I feel pretty good about him being my like RB in an RB2 range. And then you also got Chris Thompson there, who was a really good pass catching back that was reliable for a few years. And that's your four main producers out of Florida State here. Now just to, and of course in the future, I'm not looking forward to anybody in the future there. I'm just not. or who came out this year. I think it was Joshua Corbin. But on my radar, like, I was thinking, I mean, I'm going to just list off a bunch of schools. Iowa State, they got, yeah, David Montgomery, Breece Hall. We like the freshman, Cartavius Norton. But, yeah, Wisconsin, you got Braylon Allen, James White, Melvin Gordon, Monty Ball, who didn't work out. Penn State, you got Nick Singleton and Saquon Barkley. Ohio State, you got J.K. Dobbins and Trayvon Henderson. But what I also, another answer I wanted to give, just to, again, just be a little cute here with it, and this one's all 100% just future, no past, Texas. I think Texas may have the best Army Corps currently in college football. I mean, Bijan Robinson's going to be a stud. You know, I mean, he's kind of like that league winner type tier once he comes to the NFL. Jadon Blue, we're really high on as a freshman, but like the guys in between, like Jonathan Brooks has gotten some looks when they start blowing out defenses, but he looks great. Even in the spring game, he looked great. And I'm like, I'm just crossing my fingers, like, man, please transfer and start for another Power Five conference. Like, please. And then, is it like Roschon Robinson is the next one? Roschon Johnson. Thank you. Obviously my eyes are all set on Jonathan Brooks there, but he's also been a very productive running back that I can see get draft capital.
Converted quarterback, actually.
Yeah. So there's four there. And then I want to say there's one on the radar for 2023 recruitment that's supposed to be highly ranked. I might just be making that up.
Owens was supposed to be, but he would.
That's right. Yeah. It was supposed to be Owens. So that's all just for the future, obviously. But so Texas was also my radar.
No, that's what I said. They have a pretty storied past when it comes to running backs as well, which is like way in the past. So, I mean. But I mean, they also had Dante Foreman a little while ago, which kind of suffered that unfortunate Achilles. But I did like him a lot as a prospect as well coming out when he did come out. So I like that. I do think OSU was a miss here. I do think that Dobbins is whatever. I can't remember.
And Trayvon Henderson. Yeah.
But you've also got Zeke. You've got Carlos Hyde as well. You know what I mean? Like, guys do. Yeah, guys who really performed well at the NFL level. I think they were my number three group there.
I probably would have put them. Yeah, I totally forgot about Zeke, man. I really did. I would have put him on number three because we got Cam, Dalvin, and
Hey, man, Hyde was really productive for the Niners too, man. He was like a top end draft pick. He was good for a long time. So, cute pick though, but I like it.
I appreciate it.
What Warwick Dunn's Florida State jersey was my very first jersey. It was the first jersey I ever had. So I love their jerseys from the early 90s and stuff. I just thought they were the sweetest thing. So I'm left with tight ends. You guys left me with Georgia tight ends. Come on now. Yep.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I put the future Iowa. Brock Bowers, Darnell Washington, Eric Gilbert. We like Oscar Delp a lot. I mean, they've got some guys coming up. So, yeah, I think it's pretty easy there. Pretty easy choice for – what is now, you guys each said you guys have other schools, some things we didn't talk about. Is there any other wide receiver schools or tight end schools you guys want to talk about?
I did want to talk about another wide receiver school.
I have one as well. So you go ahead, Mike. Say one.
Okay. I really liked Penn State.
Yeah, that was one of mine too.
Was it? Yeah. I liked Penn State. You get Allen Robinson from there. He's a stud. You get Chris Godwin. He's a stud. Jahan Dotson just got drafted. I'm not really in on him, but we'll see. You know, first round draft capital. I like the player. I just didn't like where he went. We got Parker Washington coming up, who definitely has that stockier build at 5'10". So he's definitely got some nice – yeah, it's TBD to see if he can take over, but he took over for that one bowl game, looked great. So I'm not worried about him struggling being the wide receiver one. So I'm in. Count me on in for Parker Washington. Am I missing anyone? I know you got KJ Hamler and DeSean Hamilton. I'm a big Mitchell Tinsley fan. But as far as those guys being real NFL
producers, I'm not really super high on that.
Right.
Who did you miss have, Corey? Corey, you're muted. I don't know if did I miss anybody.
No. I mean, you pretty much got most of the names there that I had written down. Yeah, Dotson, Hamilton, Godwin, A-Rob, Washington, Saunders as well, I guess, for this class. And then I even put Amari Evans in there because we've been talking
about him. Nice. Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to talk about him. I'm worried about their future, but they're clearly a school that develops technicians.
Yeah, I like that. I like the type they look for, which is kind of what's exceeding at the NFL as well. You know, like Parker Washington kind of gives me like those DJ Moore build vibes. You know what I mean? Like somebody who could be a little bit stockier and a little yak threat on the opposite side. But
absolutely, I'm with you 100%. And I like Amari Evans. Shout out to David Kipple, Kim's Ken, at Solving Football. He's the one that called him out on their show, The Official, on YouTube. Amari Evans is a world-class triple jump. His triple jump is up there with Julio Jones and other elite NFL players that when they ran track in high school, which is 24.2 feet. So he's an athlete. He played a lot of quarterback in high school and a lot of DB, not as much receiver play. And it's kind of hard to find tape on receiver play. So he's a pure athlete. And when you look at him, he's on the skinny side. He's like 6'1", 170, but he's already in school and he already put on 9 pounds. He's already on their website labeled at 179. So I like the 6 foot. He's not, you know, he's not a short king. And his weight's already almost there too. So if they can just develop a technician, which they've proven they can do, I think Amari Evans could be a huge gem for DevVC to see with some NFL upside. Because I've not been excited about their development lately. I'm not really excited about Caden Song. I'm not excited about anyone in the shoot after Parker Washington, pretty much.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So.
Yeah. Okay, I guess the only group that I thought that maybe I'm surprised they weren't picked, but maybe not. I don't know. I guess they would have been I had them second, but looking back at it, I think I'd put Alabama second. But my third group's actually the Clemson wide receivers, which nobody ended up taking.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You've got early. I mean, recently, not so much with Amari and Powell, but before that, you've got T. Higgins. Then you got Renfro, who's been awesome. Then you've got Mike Williams. You've got Sammy Watkins. You've got Martavis Bryant. You've got DeAndre Hopkins. So we're talking about a lot of studs at the position that have come through Clemson. And then their future looks good. You know, Joe Nauta, if you're still on him. EJ Williams, if you're still on him. Two interesting guys. But then you got Bo Collins, Dakari Collins, Adam Randall, who I love, was probably might be my number one receiver in this class. And then got the unfortunate ACL. Still love him a lot. So we'll see what happens there. And then Antonio Williams as well, who could take on a bigger role now that Adam Randall's kind of lost for the season. Maybe you think he's going to come back, but right. Either way, yeah, it's a nice group there, and they've had a pretty storied past. So
I like that. One more I think we missed though. Ole Miss.
Thought about that too with AJ and
just for those two names though. Is that trio of DK, AJ, and Elijah Moore. They also have Dante Moncrief. I think he might have had 1 year there, and then you got Laquan Treadwell.
Last of the past. Out. I like it.
Yeah, Laquan Treadwell.
But those three though, I mean, AJB and DK, they're clearly going to be names ranked like in wide receiver two numbers for years to come. I hate that AJB got traded to Hurts, but you know, maybe they pick up a quarterback that can throw a little better, just a little bit better.
Yeah, it's a quality factor with Ole Miss too, right? It's how studly those guys have the potential to be. Even Elijah Moore, like even with Garrett Wilson there, like I still have a feeling he could be pretty damn good there.
So. No, yeah, same. I'm worried about Wilson's production. Yeah, I'm worried about Ole Miss quarterback play right now. You know what I'm saying? DK, AJB, and Elijah Moore. But I love what Corey said there. When these guys go to the NFL, we already know they're going to be studs or not. So,
yeah.
Right. Excellent. Thank you guys very much. That was fun. Something kind of a little bit different. Corey, tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter and what you're working on.
So you can find me at @FF_guitarist on Twitter, constantly posting just random Devy stuff, random thoughts all the time. You can find my article work at campusdecanton.com. My rankings are there as well. Be sure to check out the Devy guide. Me, Mike, and Dwight put a whole lot of work into this thing. It's available at Campus Decanton, $20, sets you up for this draft season. You look like the smartest guy in the room at your drafts. You can also find me at the Devy dashboard. Talking in the chats there if you got any trade questions. Rankings are over there as well, so video breakdowns as well, from film breakdowns as well on the YouTube channel, so yeah, that's where you can find me.
All right, Mike.
And pretty much ditto for everything Corey said. I'm also a member of C2C here. You can find me on Twitter at @FF_DirtyMike. Also a Devy analyst with Campus Kin, worked on the Devy guide, highly recommend it. I think it's the new standard now for Devy guides here on the internet. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. I think it's a new standard, and I think it's worth your money and worth your time to go ahead and read it, get ahead in your leagues. If you spend money on your leagues, you might as well spend money on this guy, because that's called an investment. You're going to make money back on that investment. Coming out with articles, doing my preseason rankings last year out of my top 15, 9 of them got drafted between round 1 and 3. So my process adjusts a little bit. I'll talk about that in the article, and I hope to be even more accurate
this coming season. And I want to thank Dwight for having us on. We really had fun tonight. I actually like this topic. It was new. Dwight is right. The topics are all kind of the same right now in the off season. Not that they're not worth topics talking about, but right. I love the creativity. Love to do something new. It was definitely absolutely fun looking into it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Dwight. It was fun being on, man.
Thank you, guys. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Debbie Big Board as part of the Rookie Big Board Network. We'll be back with more Debbie Big Board next week. Be sure to tune in next week to hear from our friends on the bonus board. Everybody have a good weekend. Thank you.